So it's a good morning and welcome. I know it's tough in the middle of a conference to be the first session, yeah? Especially with the parties and the dinners that go on. So thanks for being here for this first session this morning. Introduction to SQL Server 2012 Master Data Services and Data Quality Services. My name is Peter Myers. I'm Australian. My accent's a bit of a blend, Australian and American. I've just returned to Australia after 4 years in the US. I'm an MCT, fully qualified in the SQL Server certifications, have been a SQL Server MVP for the last 6 years. I'm not a tweeter, so you saw the bird sort of flipped upside down and dropped off. I just haven't grasped that technology yet, and I'm working on that. And if you need to contact me, I have details towards the end. This photo, unfortunately, doesn't show off to the people watching this recording that I'm wearing a groovy tie. Can you agree? I need you on side, by the way, because I have about 6 or 7 things to give away, so please work with me on this. The objectives for this hour, then, in this session, is to introduce the SQL Server 2012 Master Data Services with an emphasis of what's new. Of course, this is a second release. Master Data Services was first released with SQL Server 2008 R2. The new service, Data Quality Services, will be introduced as well, and then I have demonstrations that bring it all together. So I think the starting point to talk about these is to introduce Enterprise Information Management, and then we'll focus on each of those services, wrap up with some demonstrations and some resources. And so the definition of EIM, or what we'll refer to as Enterprise Information Management, I think is best summed up in these two ways. First of all, by Philip Russum from the Data Warehouse Institute, who refers to EIM as a best practice for creating, managing, sharing, and leveraging information in an enterprise, holistic manner that's aligned with strategic, data-driven business objectives. To remember that, or even to quote that somewhere, might be a little scary. And I think an easier way to think of enterprise information management is to think of the 4 C's, which are the completeness, cleanliness, consistency, and currency, which I think you could agree would be desirable with the data that you have, the data that you collect, and the data that you allow to surface through your business intelligence solutions. So remember those: completeness, cleanliness, consistency, and currency. So SQL Server in 2012 works with EIM by delivering 3 services. We don't talk about integration services in this session, but we focus on the other 2. And we can appreciate then that the product has evolved to include a rich set of services that deliver EIM. And it empowers people to discover and resolve problems, data quality problems that they might have, to streamline existing data management processes by using familiar tools like Excel, and you'll see demonstrated this morning. Provisions and manages enterprise information to support more effective management of data integration, and to deliver what is very important and what I consider from my experience the most important part of your delivery in BI, and that is to deliver a trusted solution, to deliver trusted data, because as I've discovered sometimes the hard way earlier on in my career, is that to deliver a non-trusted solution is to deliver a failure. All right, so data quality and the correct and complete and consistent data is just critical to the solutions that you're likely to deliver. So all up, SQL Server 2012 Enterprise Information Management consists of these 3 products. So integration services, I won't talk about beyond this slide here, I will use it in demonstration, designed primarily for extract, transform, and load, to take data from source systems, integrate, transform, to cleanse, prepare, and load data into our target system, typically the data warehouse. Master Data Services is about master data management, that we need reliability and consistency in the way that we actually report off our customers, our geographic regions, and so on. The fact is that we're likely to have numerous systems that might define the same entity for us. Customers could be defined in this system, and this system. Those systems were designed independently, and they often work independently, yet they happen to define and manage, in this example, your customer. Now, when it comes to business intelligence, we often strive towards this single version of the truth. You might have heard this before. I don't say we try or definitely want to obtain it. We strive towards it. It's a goal that is often unattainable. It's unrealistic to say that we will have a single version, but we try, all right? And so one of the services that can support that would be Master Data Services. Let's manage a consistent and central store of customers, and then let's build our business intelligence, our analytic and reporting solutions on top of that single consistent store, rather than choosing one of those systems that defines customers. Data quality services, the new service introduced in SQL Server 2012, is about providing a standalone service that is concerned with data quality or cleansing of data. And the ability then to define knowledge bases and values and rules within domains, and then referencing these, is a great maintainability story. Instead of putting that logic in our packages where it typically belongs, we want to ensure that garbage doesn't arrive in our data warehouse during an ETL process. Let's define rules once in a knowledge base and let's reuse via our packages multiple times. Therefore, we have that single point of maintenance inside data quality services. All right, so I have some giveaways up here consisting of some USB drives and some exam vouchers. So I'll put it back to you guys now in revision of material I've already covered in this first 5 minutes of this session. When we talk about the four C's, can anyone talk about, raise your hand, one of them. Thank you. Completeness. Which of these three services do you think best delivers completeness? Putting you on the spot here, but you were brave enough to answer me. Master Data Services, no, not quite. Not data quality services. What's left? Anyone brave enough to make that final guess? Sir, I'm going to hand you, or I'm going to throw to you, a thumb drive. Very cool. It looks like a Rubik's Cube, but it's not. It's actually a thumb drive. So we'll talk about completeness. I would say integration services. Integration being the key word there. Let's bring together multiple systems and integrate them into one, which would be in our data warehouse. All right. What's left out of the four C's? We've got completeness, we've got clean. Okay, which one, sir, do you think maps to clean? Data quality services. Okay, would you like an exam voucher or a Rubik's Cube thumb drive? Thank you. What's left in the four C's? This gentleman here. Completeness we just had. Yeah, sorry, someone else. This gentleman here. Current, not concurrent, but current. All right. So we need current data. We need it to be up to date. We don't want our decision makers making decisions off data that is old. Which of these three services do you think best delivers current data? I'm asking this gentleman here. No, not DQS. Master Data Services, no. What's left? You see, with integration services, a typical design approach we have is that we build packages. Those packages map to tables in our data warehouse. So each dimension, each fact table would have a package. And we execute it with regularity to ensure that the dimension attributes and entities are kept up to date and that our facts incrementally we're adding to the sales fact table. So to keep the data current in the data warehouse, typically it's integration services, right? So I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay that one out. And then I think we've got one C left out of the four. Consistency. Who yelled that? Which of these three services do you think maps to the consistency? MDS. Thank you. Can you come see me afterwards? I have an exam voucher for you. All right. The four C's are delivered through SQL Server 2012 Enterprise Information Manager. Just to make that absolutely clear, we have complete data and current data delivered by integration services. Clean, we now have a dedicated service. You could have answered integration services could deliver clean as well. There is cleaning capability. But the new approach that I was looking for was DQS. And then finally, for consistency, we have customers defined in multiple systems. Let's somehow bring them together and let's maintain a master list and then build our data warehouse on top of that master list. All right. Now with that background, we can move on and focus on master data services and then follow through with data quality services. So SQL Server 2012 Master Data Services is a SQL Server product for master data management. And in general terms, it can address a number of problems. It could be that you just don't have a single authoritative source, and therefore reports can't be trusted. No formal dimension maintenance capability. When it comes to the ability to customize what the cube delivers through a dimension and its hierarchy, there may be no easy capability for those that need to get involved with that to do so. We don't give access to general users or power users access to that dimension table to start modifying it so that the cube will reflect what they want, and yet a master data solution could. There could be multiple stakeholders for the same record. We have different stakeholders for different systems, yet those systems work with similar or same entities. There could be some conflict to manage. The inability to enforce data stewardship processes around how data actually surfaces to the data warehouse. So be aware that it's a multi-problem scenario that this product works with. That's not a great way of saying it. This product can solve multiple different problems that you might have. First released in SQL Server 2008 R2. In the current release, there are many new improvements and features, and I'll explore many of them in the demonstration. So here we see a summary of functionality. From a store point of view, it can store identity, the attributes, even the definition of hierarchies, and I'll demonstrate the creation of one of these. There is fine-grained security about who can do what and see what. It's transactional. When it comes to integrating and sharing, there's a great new story in 2012. So first of all, the WCF API says that if you're a developer, you can program against the master data service itself. If you're not happy with the user interface or you want to build some custom application around it, you can do so. From the perspective of importing data in, perhaps to initialize a master list with our customers, we have the concept of staging tables. Bring the data in, and then you can stage it into become master data. And then to get the data out, we have subscription views that are just views in a relational database. So then your ETL packages can just query these views to bring data into their process. For enabling processes, there's stewardship UIs. So there is Master Data Manager, which is a web application, and what is new in this release is the Excel add-in that allows data stewards and others the ability to connect to the server, open up lists, and if they have permission, go ahead and even publish new or changes to the lists. Of course, garbage in, garbage out applies here as well, so we have the ability to have validation and business rules. We can have versioning within the models. There's also notification and workflow processes that you can work with. So it's a very comprehensive and becoming an increasingly complete solution for master data. Here's a sample implementation. We have data sitting in an ERP system, for example. We could use integration services to load that into master data services. At that point, it's master data. We then can maintain that data through the web interface of Master Data Manager or the Excel add-in. Notifications could be delivered. And then when we go ahead and build a cube, we can build it on top of the master data, not on top of the ERP system. New improvements and features. So Master Data Manager, the web interface, has been improved. It now uses Silverlight. So there is an improvement when it comes to exploring and managing the members that you have within your lists. The new Excel add-in provides easier data updates and management, simplified entity creation. There's also an integration point with data quality services that there is a deduplication capability. Before you load new data, you can use a matching policy in DQS to go ahead and identify potential duplicates before you add them to your master list. As already discussed, to get data in, there are staging tables. And to get data out, you can define subscription views, and there are numerous improvements centered around usability, robustness, security, scale, and performance. The new add-in in Excel deserves a call out here. So master lists of reference data can be distributed to anyone in the organization that uses Excel. Is there anyone here that doesn't use Excel? Okay, just for those watching the video, no one raised their hand, as expected. So it's a familiar interface that makes sense to extend to include data steward capabilities with master data services. So if you install the add-in for MDS, data stewards, for example, could create entities and attributes or use DQS to help identify duplicates before publishing new members to lists. For general users, it might just be the ability to retrieve and update things like customer addresses. This is our master list now. We no longer require them to update addresses within the ERP system, for example, or CRM system. I'm not suggesting that's what you would do, but you might actually remove the responsibility for people to update data at that level, that all addresses are now maintained at the master list level here. It's up to you what you do. A great feature is that you can work offline. You can connect to the service, open up a master list, disconnect from the network, still make changes to existing members or add new members, and then when you reconnect later, you can publish those changes. And of course, permissions determine what you can or can't do, so you can control that not all users can do this. It's just those data stewards, those power users here that have that ability. All right, time to see this in demonstration. So introducing SQL Server 2012 Master Data Services. Are there any questions at this stage about any of the material I put forward? One question here. So great question. What happens if you've got collision? You've got a conflict that people are updating the same data. Last in wins. But the great thing about this product is there's full version tracking per member level. So if you do identify that there's a problem, you can go back and look at the transactions for a member and see who updated what when, and potentially then perform your rollback of that. And I'll demonstrate where you've got that history available to you.
So it's the last in win on the whole row?
It's the last in win on the whole row. It depends. It could be at attribute level. Depends what they're doing. If they're updating just an attribute, all right, then I would suggest it's probably at attribute level. But you know I've never tested that, and it's something you'd have to have a look at. Yes. No, I think I'm almost certain it would be at attribute level, but I can't say that with 100% certainty. All right. So my demonstration here is to go ahead and to produce, first of all, a master data solution that's going to allow us to consistently define geography. So my first step is actually to switch across to Master Data Manager. And so I'm wearing the administration hat here. I come in to system administration, and I'm going to define a new model. So in the relational database world, we have databases that consist of tables, and our data live in tables. In the master data services world, we have models as the container. We have versioning within models, and then within versions, we have entities. So step one is to go ahead and create the model. Typically done by some administrator. And then at this point, you could grant permissions to the next role, which would be the data steward responsible for the data quality and consistency of geographic data and the way that we then can analyze sales and so on within the company. So here I'm switching across to Excel. On the master data ribbon, because I've installed the add-in, I can then go ahead and connect to the server. So the administrator would have passed off this URL and said, on port 90 of localhost, in this case, you will find you can connect to the server.
Is there any additional
cal? Sorry, you had a question?
Any additional cal?
No, if you're working with the Business Intelligence Edition or the Enterprise Edition, which is where you get this capability, you need to ensure that they have the ability to connect to SQL Server. From a client perspective. All right, what you see is just open then is the Master Data Explorer, and then we can switch across to that new model. Note that we have version one. We have an empty list here, we have no entities defined, and we're going to fix that here. So I have a range of data. It's actually a table in Excel consisting of countries. And I come to the Master Data ribbon, and then I go ahead and create an entity. And as simple as this, the range is already defaulted, which model, which version within the model, and what will be the name of the entity. At minimum, an entity must have two attributes, being code and name. They are both text. The code must contain unique values. And the name is optional when you create using this interface. So the country region code, as you see, is the unique code. And then optionally, I will use the English country region name. And by clicking OK, on the server that is creating a new entity consisting of four attributes, and it publishes this data to initialize the membership. It then opens a new worksheet for me in Excel, and then it opens up the entity from the server. And we can see here the code. We can also see the name, and we have two additional attributes. So at attribute level, I can come into properties and say, well, yeah, actually maximum width is 50 for both of these, for French and Spanish.
And that's your first level protection that, you know, values of greater than 50 can't be published. The attempt to will actually create some feedback and error. And then when I go ahead and delete that sheet, absolutely no problem for deleting it, because I'm not deleting what's on the server, I'm just deleting the copy that I had downloaded here in an Excel worksheet. My second sheet then has a selected range here of the state province codes. So same thing, I go ahead, create an entity. In my AdventureWorks BI model, the new entity will be state province. The unique code that I've got, note in column A that I have the concatenation of country with a pipe and then the state. I had to come up with some way to produce a unique combination across countries and states. The optional name, I'll choose to use the state province name that we see here. And again, as simple as that, I go ahead and create that entity. So again, it opens up this worksheet, State Province 1, and we can take a look at the data. And my concern would be that users are going to come in here and just free text in a country that doesn't exist. We don't want them to. I already have an entity that defines countries. So I can come to the properties, and I can say, well, we're going to create a constrained list, that this attribute will only allow the selection of values that exist in the country region. So note what happens when I make this update. Is that we now see in column F that we have a drop-down list available. So when modifying or inserting new members into this entity, they're constrained by values that exist in my country region entity. Out of interest, note that AU is actually the code, within curly braces is the name. And I'm going to go ahead and add a new member to this. So while I have the list open, I can just append to the very bottom. And down here, I'm going to add the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania. I always find this one a little tricky to write. I'm going to have to come up with its unique code, which, in keeping with what I have here, it's just going to be this. I'll use the drop-down list to assign it to the US. Its code is PA. And, well, I should have done this first, but I could have also created an entity based off this. Let me go ahead and say this is Northwest. I'll publish. I can provide annotations. So to track the history, you can also put some comment in here. New state. Publish. And that will be tracked by name, by date. And by name, I mean the authenticated user that did this, the date, and the comment. So the other thing that I wanted to do here was come to the state, sales territory region, and in its properties, constrain it by a new entity. So this will be sales territory region. And so when you base a constraint on an existing attribute, what it will do is create an entity based on the unique values that it finds currently in this list. Okay, so you can now see in Master Data Explorer, I have three entities defined. Okay, let me go ahead and delete it. And then lastly, I have city. It's very much the same approach. This time I have the city. The code will be the ID and the name will be the city. And to ensure that cities only get assigned to states that exist, I'll go ahead and just update the attributes. So for the state province, attribute properties constrained by what is found in the state province. For postal code, I'm going to ensure that the width is just 15 at max. And then I have an IP address locator that I'll also constrain to a 15 width.
So I think you'll appreciate from this demonstration just the simplicity of this interface, the ability, if you have permission, to create entities and initialize them with values already defined, or to go ahead and to maintain by adding new or modifying values within. The other approach is that we can work from master data management. So the first thing I want to demonstrate in this interface is that under system administration, I can go ahead and define a hierarchy. So within this model, I can add a hierarchy. And I'm going to call this the geography hierarchy. Here are the four entities that I've just created in Excel. Starting from the bottom up, I drag city across to form the first level. Next, I bring across the state province. And next, the country region code. Is that what I named it? I should have named that country region. And then you can explore that hierarchy here. So there's hierarchy management within the master data manager. Next, and what is new in 2012 and Silverlight enabled, is the ability to work with the Explorer. So switching across to the Explorer, you can, at entity level, explore the members that you have within the lists. And so I'll switch first to the state province. And here are all of the members. And I'll navigate across to page 2. And that we'll see that we've got the state of Washington here. Can anyone see something that's a little wrong about this? Yes? Wrong region. What region should it be?
West.
Northwest, thank you. I have a certificate for you if you come up and see me at the end. Woohoo. All right, so we've identified a problem. Not a problem, though, really, because we can select the member, and over here in the details pane, I'll just come in and assign it to the correct sales territory region. So note, because we constrained that attribute, the drop-down list presents to us the other options, and I'll put in there some annotation, data correction. And then I'll go ahead and update that. We can then view the transactions. There's the history of everything that's happened. And the selection of this shows us the annotation that this is the data correction performed by administrator at this date and time. Let me switch across to the city. You might have thousands and thousands of members, so we have the ability to filter. So I'm looking because I've been told the IP address is wrong for a city that is named Sydney. You might have heard of this. So is like, we can use wildcard matching. So I found the one, there's Sydney, and that IP address should be an additional 9. Just update it. Okay. And that's how you can manage the master data. Two different approaches, Excel or the web interface. How do we get this data out? It's all very well to collect and maintain master data. What is great in this release is that we have the ability to define subscription views. The fact is that each attribute is stored independently in its own table. And you'd have to join all of these attributes together to complete the picture. What was the state code? What was the state name? And so on. To facilitate that joining, a subscription view will build a view on top of the attribute tables. So I'll go ahead and create 3 views. Starting with geography, you know, actually there's something that I had better fix before I go any further, and that is I named one of them incorrectly. What is country region? No, that's correct. My mistake. So create a view that will be named geography, country, region. And what it's going to expose from this model and the first version of the model is the entity that is country region and just all of the leaf members. In other words, all of the members that you have in the list. Click save and that subscription view is created. The next one will be geography state province.
And one more for city.
So when I open up Management Studio, we will see that they are just views in the Master Data Services database. So if you want to retrieve your country, then just select from this view. And there's all of my countries, so you get all the versioning information, you get the two mandatory attributes, you get the user-defined attributes, and you get a host of other attributes that tell you who and when and what. All right, so it's up to you. Writing a query against this to extract data from Master Data Services is now very straightforward. So the last part of the demonstration then is to show how we could use this in ETL. So I have a package here named loaddimgeography, and in the data flow here, it's essentially just retrieving from the subscription views. And if I go ahead and execute this, where it identifies changes that have happened, it's going to implement them. So in fact, we see all of these changes for Washington. Remember how I changed its sales region territory that it had? So we see all of that taking place. And then because there was the one change for city, I think we should have seen. Did Sydney appear in there? Ah, there it is. So that IP address, that change was picked up. So the dimension table was synchronized with the master data. And that's my demonstration to introduce Master Data Services. Any questions? Okay, so the question is, can we integrate it with other tools? Yes, you can. At the end of the day, MDS is a WCF service, so you can work with it programmatically. You have staging tables, you have the views that you can work with as well, so you can use integration services also. Let's bring in data from other sources that you might have and be managing, and let's use an ETL process that just populates the staging table and brings data in periodically. So it's very, very versatile in how you choose to use it within your solution. So if you want to use another modeling tool, providing you have the ability to programmatically do something via that tool via its service, then yes, you can. Otherwise, no, it's unlikely to if it's a closed system. If you can extend it, if it's an extensible system, yes, you can use the WCF interface to go ahead and do anything that master data management can do. All right, so programmatically you can if you can extend the base product to do so. All right, I would love to take other questions, but I won't have time to get through the rest, but I'd love to take any questions that you have offline at the end of the session. All right, so we can move on now to second topic, the introduction of SQL Server 2012 Data Quality Services. This is a new knowledge-driven data cleansing product. It supports building knowledge bases that support correction and deduplication of your data. So the knowledge can accumulate over time. So the value here is that you can build up knowledge that is going to be improve over time as you discover problems within the data that you need to cleanse. Integration services includes an integration point because it has a DQS cleansing transform. And then there's also the Master Data Services Excel add-in that supports using DQS to help deduplicate data before you publish it into a master list. This is effectively the data quality process. You will go ahead and build and maintain a knowledge base. And a knowledge base consists of domains, and domains can map to either values. These are the valid values that we'll accept. These are the state codes for the US. And not only are these the good ones, but these are the bad ones. And if these bad ones come in, correct it to these good ones. So the first thing is a domain can consist of values on how correction should take place.
The next thing is a domain can define rules. An email address must match this regular expression to be a valid email address. And thirdly, you can use and exploit third-party data services. So a common example here is address cleansing. That when we have an address given to us, we want to know if that's truly an address that exists. Well, we don't keep a database of that. It'd be foolish of us to try to. But there are services that we can subscribe to. And DQS can be configured to communicate with, and the cleansing can happen externally, and the cleansed data can come back to you. So three different approaches: values, rules, or external data. The use of it then, there are three ways to use a knowledge base, and only three ways in this release. The first is a data quality project, which is a standalone project to take some input data and to output some cleansed result. It's up to you to do something with that output that is delivered to you either as a SQL Server table or data in a table, or as an Excel file or a CSV file. The integration story comes with the DQS cleansing transform, that within the data flow of an integration services package, the DQS cleansing can take place. The third approach is in the master data services add-in, that you have the deduplication process. Beyond that, there is no other capability. So if you say, well, I would love to use DQS to validate the data entry application that I have, that's a great use, you would think, but in this first release, there is no public API that allows your application to communicate with it. These are the only three ways that are supported. So there are two components. There's the server. Essentially, it's three SQL Server relational databases and CLR assemblies. There's the client, which is a Windows client that should be installed on administrators and data stewards' desktops. So that client allows data stewards, data experts, to create and maintain knowledge bases, to create and maintain data quality projects, to monitor the activities of the service, and to manage the system settings. Closer look at a knowledge base. If Master Data Services has the concept of a model, then Data Quality Services has the concept of a knowledge base. Master Data Services has entities. Data Quality Services within the knowledge base has domains. All right, and each domain is specific to a data field, like state code or email address. They capture the meaning of what clean data would be. As already mentioned, it can use online reference data from services that you can subscribe to. So here we see it diagrammatically. A knowledge base can consist of domains. Composite domains are where domains need to work together. So address, city, zip, state, they must work together. You can also define matching policies on how deduplication should take place. What are the rules? Okay, within a domain, is it defined by values that are valid or invalid values? Is it defined by rules? The email address must match this expression, or is it defined by reference data, external from your solution? So let's take a look at this in demonstration. So I'll launch the data quality client, and I need to connect, in this case, to my local host, and then I define a new knowledge base. Note the activity here, that we can manage domains, we can discover knowledge from our existing data, or define matching policy. So I'm going to use knowledge discovery to learn from the master data that I've just created what are the valid state codes that we could ever have. So let me go ahead and select my MDS database and that subscription view that I created earlier, which is the geography state province. I can then say of all of the columns from that view, what do we have? We have the state province code down here. I'm going to create a new domain that maps to the distinct values. This will be state code. And the knowledge discovery happens at step two. So I click next and start, and then it retrieves the values from that column of that subscription view, the distinct values of which it found 72. Click next, and they become automatically, and we're making the assumption that our master data is clean, and we would hope it is, that these are the valid values that we could use in a state code domain. So we've got, unusually, we've got these numerics that must mean something to someone, but we notice the US states are down here. There's California, there's Florida. So I can go ahead and add new in here, because what we discover is that sometimes we have data coming in with the abbreviated form of the state, CALIF. So I'm going to say that this is actually invalid, and it should correct across to the valid value of CA. Let me do one more. Florida is the other one. We discovered it, and this is where your knowledge can accumulate over time. You can maintain the values that you have here. You see when I scroll up, they seem to have disappeared. What the UI is doing is actually placing them here. We can see that this corrects across to this valid value. When I click finish, I have the ability to publish, and I choose not to. What happens is that when you're actually maintaining the definition of a knowledge base, it is exclusively locked by you, and no one, not even any service, could use it. Not until you publish it. And there's more work that I need to do, so I'm going to come back and I'm going to perform domain management on the knowledge base. So we see in domain management that I have the one state code, and over here in domain values, I could continue to maintain the values that I have. My intention here is to go ahead and define a new domain in the knowledge base that will be email address. And for this domain, I'm going to use a rule. I add a new rule that will be valid email address. And these are all the different operations that I have. So it's going to be where the value matches a regular expression. And I have this regular expression very conveniently here that determines what is or what is not a valid email address. So think where you might have used this in the past. You may have done this in integration services and had that regular expression within the package itself. And if you had multiple packages that need to validate email addresses of customers, employees, and so on, you're duplicating logic. And here we are, defining it once, maintaining it in a single place, and I'll demonstrate shortly how it then can be reused. To test this, we have a neat little capability here. What would happen under these circumstances if I have John at hotmail.com, or John just at Hotmail, or even John **** at Hotmail? What would this rule do? And we can see here that only the first, according to that regular expression, is valid. Okay. So now when I click finish in domain management, I will this time choose to publish the knowledge base, and now it's available for use. So that's the creation and management of a knowledge base and its domains. The data quality project then is the first that we'll explore to use the knowledge base. So it's a means of using a knowledge base to improve the quality of some data that you have. It's created and managed only in the data quality client. Results can be exported to a SQL Server table. There's actually an error here. This is pointed out to me. Excel workbook it can also publish to, or a CSV file. And there's two types of activities that we can perform here, a cleansing activity or a matching activity. I don't have any matching rules defined in the knowledge base, so I will demonstrate to you now a cleansing activity. So back to the data quality client, I click here to create a new data quality project. We give it a name, new customers. So I have some new customers that I want to access. And let me show these to you. Typically, there wouldn't be red highlights here, but I have this data in an Excel workbook, and we see that we've got new customers that are using that abbreviated form of California and Florida. Even Texas comes in using the abbreviated form of the state rather than the two-character code. I also have some invalid email addresses here. Let me close that. And then it just reminds me of the selected knowledge base consists of these two domains. I perform a cleansing activity. So it wants to know where the source data is coming from. So it's either a SQL Server table or view or an Excel file. And then of all of the columns that it finds, how would they map to the domains? Well, email address will map to the email address domain, and the state column will map to the state code domain. Next, at the cleansing step, we just click start, and once the cleansing has taken place, we get to see statistics about what it's discovered. So for both of those domains, for the 20 records that it assessed, let's just look at the state code for now. Is it found that 95% of them were correct or were corrected according to the values that we had? And there were only 5%, in other words, one of the 20, that could not be fixed. For email address, we're not too concerned about it because it's just a rule. It'll tell us whether or not the rule met or not. Click next, and we get to the manage and view results. So let's take a look at state code here. And we can see that it discovered that there was one new that Texas abbreviated. And we could approve this and say it's actually valid. For corrected, we can see that the California and Florida customers were actually corrected. And that the 12 that it had here were all actually correct according to the values we have. So moving on to the export step, we have the ability, and this is optional, to go ahead and export that to one of those three locations. So I could export this to a CSV file. And I'll choose to add cleansing information as well. And so now that export has taken place, I click finish. Let's take a look in my demo folder, and here is the CSV file. And what we see is that you get the original state value, the corrected state value, and the reason. This one here, it considers that it could be a new value. We'd need to look into this. For the email address, we see that these two actually failed. They failed the rule that I defined that was called valid email address. Now, it's up to you what you do with this CSV information. That's the end of what the Data Quality Project can do for you. For a matching activity, it will come back and tell you that it thinks this is the correct record and these ones are duplicates with a certain probability of how likely that duplicate is. It's up to you then to determine, is it in fact a duplicate? If it is, go ahead and remove it from your original set. The other approach of then using data quality services is within the integration services data flow. We have the DQS cleansing transform, and it involves configuring what DQS server it's using, which knowledge base on the server, and then similar to what I did in the project, these input columns map to these domains. And then what it will return are additional output columns that will provide the source, the corrected, and the reason. Now it's up to you in the logic of your data flow, typically with a conditional split, that if this happens, go ahead and log it to this table so a human can assess the states that we don't have. Otherwise, we'll accept the corrected values and pass them down to the destination output. So we'll now see that in demonstration to finish off the DQS story. So across here in my integration services project, I have a package to load the customer dimension. Now it's partially built. You'll see there's actually an error for the data flow itself because it needs to be configured. So I'm bringing in all of those 20 Excel new customers. There's various transformations that need to take place, but at this point we're ready to go ahead and correct the data if necessary. So to configure this, I already have a connection, see here in the project, so a project level connection to the DQS server, what knowledge base on the server. It tells me that it has these domains. Okay, that's great. How do they map to the input columns being passed into this transformation? Well, for my email address, we will map to the email address domain. And for the state province, we will map to the state code. So it's going to output these columns. What was the original? What is the output that it's giving us? And what is the status of that? Is it valid? Is it invalid? Is it corrected? And so on. And that completes the configuration. I then go ahead and I use logic here to test, was the email address valid and so on, was the state province code valid, and I log to these tables any invalids that have not been allowed to correct. What will pass down as valid customers will be those where corrections happened. So if the email address was valid and the state code was valid or it could be corrected, then it will pass down and be loaded into my dimension table. Let me go ahead and execute this. So of the 20 rows that were retrieved from Excel, they're all now being cleansed, and it discovered that there were two invalid email addresses and one invalid state province code. So we can inspect this by switching across to the data warehouse, and you'll see that I have tables that log. So the invalid email addresses have been captured here. And you could produce a report, or you could automate the delivery of this to someone to say, go ahead and fix these up. So tomorrow when we load the dimension table, those corrected email addresses will flow through the data warehouse. For the state province, we should see that state of Texas. Now that would prompt us either to go and fix the source data or somehow ensure that doesn't flow through again, or we might need to add this to the values. That if tex dot appears, correct this to TX, and then that should just work. And there's an example of where the knowledge base can accumulate knowledge over time. And that concludes the demonstration for data quality services. Are there any questions at this stage about DQS? Yes, in the back. Can you get to an Oracle ERP? So a data quality project that I first demonstrated will only work from a SQL Server table or view, or an Excel workbook. So yes, you could if you had a linked server to the Oracle data and then you built a view inside a SQL Server database. Now, in integration services, it doesn't matter where the data came from. In fact, I sourced it from Excel and I performed transformations. So by using the DQS cleanse transform, it doesn't matter. It could come from absolutely anywhere. Does that answer your question? If you're using a data quality project, you need to get it into SQL Server or via a linked server. You can query it and expose a view. From an integration services perspective, it simply doesn't matter. Any other questions? Yes? So you've mentioned the concept that you have multiple attributes, first name, last name, birth date, and what do you want to achieve with those? So you're talking about confidence. So you're talking about deduplication here? Yes. So when you create a matching rule that I haven't demonstrated here, you can say, okay, these are the domains, first name, last name, birth date. And the matching rule says that they must be at least similar, and then you must create an overall weighting of 100%. So first name is a 50%, last name is 40%, birth date is 10%. And then overall, it will come up a probability with how much it thinks another row is a duplicate. And so long as it exceeds the minimum probability you've set for the rule, it will come back to you and say, this is a possible duplicate with this confidence. Then it's still up to you. Either, and by the way, you can't use deduplication in integration services. The DQS cleansing only works with the correction of data, not the deduplication of data. I have a session this afternoon where I'll talk about deduplication and that DQS will not solve that for you, not in the current release. So you'd have to use a data quality project, take the output, and then look at the statistics that it gave you and make some judgment. Anything that's less than a certain threshold, it's probably not a duplicate, but above that, it's likely to be a duplicate. Very useful if you've got millions of customers you're trying to deduplicate. You shouldn't need to go through each one with a human evaluation. All right, let me wrap up with the remainder of the slide, and I'm happy to take any questions beyond that. So in summary, we've seen that Master Data Services, actually in its second release here in SQL Server 2012, is the next generation MDM product delivered in SQL Server. You can leverage MDS to connect to disparate information systems that share common master data. And DQS is a new knowledge-driven data cleansing product delivered in SQL Server 2012. Use it to support correction and or deduplication of data. Knowledge in a knowledge base can improve over time. I think of it like a wine that you put in the cellar. You know, over time, it's just going to get better and better as you
It's a bit different. Wine you don't have to do anything with, but with a knowledge base you can maintain its values, so it becomes more valuable over time. You've seen just in demonstration the DQS cleansing transform integrates nicely for data correction in the integration services data flow. What I haven't demonstrated is the fact that there is a capability between Excel and the MDS add-in to use a matching policy to deduplicate data prior to publication of new members to a list. Related content, I'm aware that there was a session yesterday. Rob Hawthorne had talked about EIM, bringing very much the three together, very similar. This afternoon, I'll be talking about 10 extraordinary things to achieve with integration services. So I will touch on DQS when we talk about deduplication and cleansing. And then finally, how does this relate to exams? Well, there is an exam on data warehousing that will test you on both MDS and DQS. Standard resources apply. And we very much appreciate your evaluation. It's very helpful to us to understand whether we've hit target with your expectations and needs. And we'd love to hear feedback about what you thought about this session. As incentive, there's fabulous prizes that you could win. So thank you very much for your time and attendance. I'm happy to use the remaining minutes for any questions.